And so here in Psalm 49, God's people are experiencing troubled times. This was written about 2,600 years ago. And of course, we experience troubled times all around us today. And notice the same temptation in every generation when it comes to troubled times. It's the temptation towards fear.
Welcome back, Live in the Light listeners, taking time out of your day to join us. We're so thankful for that. Hey, Live in the Light is a radio ministry, that's obvious, and we pray it's all about opening up God's Word together and seeing all of our lives radically transformed by the truths that we get to read. So thank you for being here today and for joining us for a new series. A mini-series, actually, that we're super excited about as we dive deeply into Psalm 49. And Pastor Robbie, our teacher, is here with me. And Robbie, I just mentioned just a second ago about truth. And really, truth is not really a popular word in this crazy world we live in right now, is it?
Look back in the last 12 months, our world, eh? Like, wouldn't you say our world is it's pretty chaotic, right?
It seems to change faster and faster with every year.
Yeah, yeah. Like, think of what's happened on the global landscape in the last 12 months. I mean, if I'm honest, as a Bible-believing, God-fearing man, like, I'm thinking about this stuff a lot. Like, we live in very interesting, is a kind word for it. And I think if I'm a little more honest than that, I'd say we're in crazy times. Like, there's a level of uncertainty and you could say animosity and just a hectic pace of, anyways, it's just, it really is concerning. And that's why, then this is why I love it, okay? So on the one side of me says, oh man, like, you feel a bit of a sense of fear, and Craig, you can comment on how you do this too. But then you get filled with faith and you look at God's word and God's like, yeah, yeah, I'm on it, man. Like, I've predicted all of this, and my word, even the series, I love this, Truth in Troubled Times is what it's called. It's going to show us exactly, again, so many ways that God says, I told you this would happen. Trust in me. Don't look around you too much and watch what I will do in the days to come. You have any closing thoughts on that, Craig?
No, I just love that what we're about to do in turning the message over to you is going to a book that is thousands of years old and yet is sovereignly planned out by an awesome God to remain true even for the day and age, the chaotic day and age that we live in right now. This book speaks life to us and hope to us right now.
Amen, amen. You take that, listeners. You be encouraged today. In the midst of chaos, we have certainty in Jesus Christ.
All right, well, let's turn things over to Pastor Robbie with today's teaching in Psalm 49. Again, the title of today's message and our series, Truth in Troubled Times.
So today we're in Psalm 49. We have a two-week mini-series in what I'm guessing in Psalm 49 is a lesser-known psalm. It's not a lesser psalm. It's a lesser-known psalm, right? Think of some of the most famous or some of the favorite psalms, like Psalm 19, personal favorite of mine. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. I love that. Psalm 23 in my readings this morning. I'm sure you could probably say some of that, if not all of that by heart. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So great. Again, so famous. Psalm 51, David's psalm of repentance after his sin with Bathsheba. Very, very well-known psalm. Psalm 119, that's the Hebrew gold. An alphabet. It takes every alphabet in the Hebrew alphabet, every letter in the alphabet, and then it expands into God's word. 176 verses in Psalm 119, 172 of them have mention of God's word. Psalm 139, maybe you know that one, fearfully and wonderfully made. Search me, O God, know my heart, see there be any grievous way within me. All these Psalms we're so familiar with and we love, and you have others that you love. But it's often you say, hey, you know, verses that Psalm, and I go, hey, Psalm 49. And it'd be like crickets, right? Just like it would be for me before I study that too. You know what's there, maybe, but you don't know what's in it. And that's why we usually take a psalm each summer in the month of August to go through. And that's why we're doing it now. Our title for this two-week mini-series is Truth in Troubled Times. Truth in troubled times, an exposition of Psalm 49. Why are we calling it that? Well, look at verse 5. Verse 5 is our answer of Psalm 49. The psalmist says, why should I fear in times of trouble? It's right there in God's word. The ESV will take a, that's my translation, the ESV will pick a section of a verse within each psalm as what they believe is the thesis. That's the section they have taken, I believe, correctly to say this is the center of what's happening within this psalm. Why should I fear in times of trouble? That is the psalmist's question. That is the core of his content. That is the stake he's putting in the ground. So what I love right now is the Bible right now at this time comes to our front door, like right now. Like he's just knocked on your front door of your heart and he wants to speak. I love it too. The Holy Spirit sits down right beside us today. This is what you have to realize, okay? When we gather for church, just one of our elders prayed last night, we'd have a supernatural encounter with God. We're not going through the motions here. What's happening right now is this is the church of the living God. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. Every person saved in here is filled with the Holy, baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit sits down beside you right now. You're like, I don't have room beside me. No, he's good. He can figure it out, okay? He's pretty smart. He sits down beside you right now and he's like, man, I got a word for you today from Psalm 49. I mean, every single person here right now, the Holy Spirit sits down beside you and is like, hey, by the way, I wrote this book and like this song, I wrote it too. And I have something I want to say to you today. So every heart that is hungry will be fed. You can choose to have a hard heart. You can choose to snore through the whole thing. You can choose. And often what does that? It quenches God's spirit and he'll pass by there. But right now he's inviting every single person who wants to engage and wants to. This is what we do. This is why this time is so unique as the gathered church and so special. And the Holy Spirit has used it this weekend. We pray he will use it again. And so here in Psalm 49, God's people are experiencing troubled times. This was written about 2,600 years ago. And of course, we experience troubled times all around us today. And notice the same temptation in every generation when it comes to troubled times. It's the temptation towards fear. Why should I fear in times of trouble? But the psalmist knows this. He knows the greatest weapon against fear is truth. And placing your faith in that truth, the truth of God, to combat fear. Every day we need truth, loved ones. I mean, this past week, some mornings I woke up eager to be in God's word. Other mornings woke up and just, it wasn't really into it. Or you're a little more like laborious, but you do it anyways. You open it up and you realize, even this morning, in God's word, and you realize the truth again, that is so powerful. So this is what we do for 2 weeks. We need truth today. And the next 2 weeks, we're gonna have a very personal conversation with the Holy Spirit and in God's word. And we ask and we answer. We ask and we answer. Why should I fear in times of trouble? Why should I fear in times of trouble? The Holy Spirit wants to help us in this. So what the psalmist does in Psalm 49, this lesser known psalm, he gives an introduction that sets up the big idea. So let's read verses 1-4. This is his introduction. We're gonna spend a couple of minutes as we go through that. Then we will get into the main course of the day. Psalm 49, verse 1. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. So what's happening here, verses 1-4 again, is an urgent introduction. Psalm 49 is a psalm of wisdom. Some psalms are psalms of praise, others are psalms of petition, others are psalms of prayer, others are psalms of lament. This specifically is the genre. It's a psalm of wisdom. Now notice this series of couplets that the psalmist uses in verses 1-4 to get our attention for what's coming. Look at the first couplet in verse 1. See what he mean by that? Hear this, all peoples, give ear. So hear this and give ear. Two times he's like, you got to hear this. Now, who's got to hear this? Notice, all peoples or all inhabitants of the world. Last time I checked, that pretty much covers everyone, right? Hey, everyone who's alive, listen up, right? Give ear, all peoples. So there's great urgency. The psalmist is really, really burdened. Now watch this in verse 2. Both low and high, both rich and poor. So the next couplet is low and high, rich and poor. Now, why does he mention rich and poor? Because Psalm 49, at its most basic again thesis, is it's a psalm detailing, listen carefully, the emptiness of earthly riches. You're going to see, this is what the psalm is about. The psalmist is saying, listen, life is lived in two ways. You can serve God or serve money. One leads to destruction, one leads to everlasting life. You can serve the world or you can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's like, listen, the rich need to hear that message and the poor need to hear that message because we're all tempted to live for things that don't matter, to gather treasures on earth as opposed to treasures in heaven. Look at verse 3 now. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. The couplet there is wisdom with understanding. Notice where it's going to come from, the meditation of his heart. Why is that important? The heart to the Hebrew. When the Hebrews spoke of the heart, it was the very essence of their being defined in three main ways: their minds, their affections, and their will. So the psalmist says to you and I right now, he says, if you're listening, and if you will let this truth change you, this will change how you think. This will change the affections of your life. This will change the direction of your life as well. It's from my heart to your heart. That's how profound this wisdom is. Look at verse 4 now. I will incline my ear to a proverb, first part of the couplet. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. So the psalmist is now saying this. He's, listen, what I'm about to unpack for you right now, Hope Church, I'm about to solve, his words, I'm about to solve the riddle of life, death, and prosperity. Now you consider that. The psalmist is like, listen, I'm going to solve the riddle of life, that tends to be a big one, of death, that's pretty important, and of true prosperity pertaining to eternity and the futility of this earth, the riches. He's like, that's what we're going for right now. In fact, he says, I feel so strongly about it, I'm going to put it to music. Now, why would he do that? Well, because one of the main reasons we sing in the Church of Jesus Christ, every song we sang today contains massive statements of truth, of life-changing transformation. We sing to honor and worship the Lord, and we sing because when you put it to a tune, how much better you remember the reality of the theology you believe. That's why music is created by God so much to honor him, but also, again, you put it to music. It's amazing how you remember. That's what he's saying right now. This is so important. This is so important. We're going to put it to music because when you get this, this can change your life forever. So we just walked into the front room of Psalm 49 and many of us were not expecting this. We really had no idea what was in front of us. We're starting to get a little bit of it now. Psalm 49, a psalm of wisdom, a psalm of wealth, a psalm of eternal ramifications, and all who listen, they will be changed. And you got to hear. So when I'm thinking of a psalm of wisdom, and I just love the theme of wisdom in scripture, I can't help but think of Proverbs 4, verse 7. Proverbs 4, verse 7, one of my favorites says, the beginning of wisdom is this. Yes, get wisdom. Thank you, Sheldon. That's so great, right? The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And then it says, whatever you get insight. Okay, so who's here and who's wise right now? Listen up, ready? The beginning of wisdom, the wise person, the beginning of a person who's wise says, I gotta get it. The foolish person's like, maybe later. But the wise person says, I gotta get it now. And in fact, the Bible says, whatever you get in this life, whatever you're seeking after, go for wisdom because it's the wisdom of God that most fundamentally changes your life for the good. And that will separate so many people right now, again, from wisdom and foolishness, from life and death. And this is what Psalm 49 puts before us right now. So you've walked in the front door of Psalm 49, or really Psalm 49 has walked through your front door. And many of us are not prepared for the seriousness of what awaits us and the substance. But that's why I love God. So I love the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you right now, everyone here, invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Like he's come right to your front door and he's like, hey man, I got stuff to say. Invite him to speak to you and to change you. That's how important this psalm will become. Again, a path of life and a path of death rooted in the view of riches of temporal worth and of eternal worth. So the psalmist is looking for the attention. He's like, listen, you gotta listen. So important. And now he comes to his main content and we come to our main idea. Look at verse 5 now. Here's his point. Why should I fear in times of trouble? He's like, church, listen. You don't need to fear in times of trouble. So this is our big idea, point number one. Again, just to make it clear, this is what we're going after. This is the question we're answering, the question we're asking. Why should I not fear in times of trouble? Verses 5 and 6 detail this for us. So look at verse 5 again. Why should I fear in times of trouble? Notice, when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. So this is interesting to me. Troubled times are surrounding the psalmist, and he describes these troubled times as being surrounded by sin. We experience troubled times as we're surrounded by iniquity, but notice how he describes the sin. Verse 6, look at verse 6. He describes the sin as those who trust in their wealth, those who boast in the abundance of riches is the description of the iniquity that surrounds God's people and surrounds them and seeks to cheat them. So this is fascinating to me in the Bible relating to one another. This Psalm 49 could be a commentary on so many of the teachings of Jesus, his parables and just his straight up teachings. But this psalm was written close to 600 years before Jesus was even on earth. Yet the unity of the Bible as it comes together. This psalm is contrasting. You can trust in the earthly riches or you can trust in eternal God. You can live for idolatrous wealth or you can live for the wealth of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he brings. And as the psalmist kind of looks at this, he's encouraged, he's emboldened. And he says, why would I fear the trouble that surrounds me? Why would I fear the sin of those that surround me? Why would I fear those people who at the end of the day, their power is earthly, their power is futile, their power simply will not last? He's like, why would I fear those who could kill me physically but could never kill me spiritually? Why would I fear those who cannot even save themselves? Why would I fear a situation, circumstances, or a culture that will soon be brought into judgment itself and apart from Jesus Christ does not stand a chance? Why would I fear those, the psalmist is saying? Why would I fear in times of trouble when I have the fear of the Lord? It's the people without the fear of the Lord. They're the ones who are in super big trouble. I mean, what a great truth this is, kind of stated in a way we wouldn't often think of it. What a great prayer this is. God, help me not to fear in times of trouble because you are the one who's my savior and rescuer. You are my guarantee. Why should we be people who fear the Lord? Again, not man. I want you to see the very key phrase in verse 6, okay? In verse 6, those who trust in their wealth. That is describing the sin surrounding the psalmist. Now, wealth, money in itself, on its own, is neutral, right? It's a thing, used for bad, used for good. It's neutral. Notice the difference here. Trust in that wealth is when all hell breaks loose, literally. You know how many people have been brought to eternal destruction through a trust? You know how many people sold their souls to the devil by giving their life to the temporal pursuit of earthly riches and have thereby rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation? I'm telling you, millions upon millions, even hundreds of millions and billions over the course of this history have entrusted themselves and put their trust in wealth to the forfeiting of their own soul. I mean, this is why this psalm is such a big deal. Again, to trust in wealth. What is to trust in wealth? You look at it. You depend on it. You expect it. When you do those things, what happens is then you start to love it. And when you love it, you worship it. When you worship it, it becomes your hope. It becomes your God. This is the danger of trusting in wealth. And when we trust in wealth, whether it takes a day or a month or a year, it will always lead to devastating disappointment. This is why God says to his people over Deuteronomy, love Deuteronomy, book of Deuteronomy, love Deuteronomy chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, God's like, I'm gonna feed you with manna. I'm gonna hold from you to test you to see what's in your heart, to see and to make you know that you may know that man does not live by bread alone, by every word that comes from the mouth of God, okay? Later on, he says, but then I'm gonna provide for you practically. I'm gonna drive you into a land of milk and honey. I'm gonna provide for you abundantly. You're gonna have food and fruits. You're gonna have the best of the best. You will even have gold and silver. Here's what God says, but when you get that provision, do not forget your God, the very one who gave you all those things, because if you forget about me, then what's gonna happen is I will have to come and discipline you to once again remind you that it's not the stuff you're supposed to worship, it's me. And when you forget about me, the discipline enters into your life that I may call you back to remind you again of who truly satisfies and why we truly live. And this becomes the story of God's people throughout history. They receive the blessing, they forget about God, they build up idols, they worship the idols, they're disciplined by the Lord, they undergo punishment, they undergo this treatment, then they're brought back, they repent, they restore their love to God, they become proud again, they start worshiping things around them, and the process happens again. I'm telling you, how many of us, we live in this massively blessed society, practically speaking, relative to the world. This society we live in is incredibly self-indulgent. We are incredibly selfish as a whole, incredible abundance all around us. And listen, so many of us, we have been blessed. We pursue the blessing. It becomes too much. It gets too much of our mind and heart. It steals our affections. We start to love the things around us. We start to love the money that we might be given. We start to forget the grace of the one who gave it to us. We start to move away from God. Our affections are wrapped up in all the things of our world. And what happens is God loves us too much, so he disciplines us. He allows difficulty and trial to enter into our lives because he loves us too much to let us stray, to remind us that he's the one that we are to serve. He's the one that we are to love. And because he cares for us so much, he will not let us stray forever. And we go through difficult times to once again be reminded it's not the stuff we're to worship. It's the one and only God, his son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And some of us right now are in the trial I speak of at this moment because we can be caught off guard and led astray by the things of this world. Some of us right now are in a trial of discipline of the Lord because we have started worshiping the earth as opposed to worshiping Jesus Christ. And because God's the perfect Father, he loves you. He loves you. And so he disciplines you. Because he knows at the end of the day, if he doesn't do that, you will carry off into self-destruction, as so many in our world are doing right now. This is the danger of the pursuit of wealth. Now, if you're like me, you're in Psalm 49, and trust in wealth, you have many, many verses flowing through your mind right now from a New Testament, how the Bible's really one book. So let's just get those verses out because we're all thinking of them anyways, and we can see them and see how much the Bible's really one book. Here's the first verse. These are all from Jesus. I want you to see. We'll go through them quickly. It's just, again, it's so connected to Psalm 49. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. That would be dumb. Why? Because moth and rust will destroy them. Well, I don't want that. That'd be stupid. I know. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven that will last forever. That sounds smart. I know it does, doesn't it? Why is this such a big deal? For where your treasure is, that's what you trust. And what you trust, that's where your heart is. You trust in treasure, trust in the earth, your heart's in the earth. You trust in God, you trust in Christ, your heart's with Christ. Next verse. Matthew 6, this is really our psalm in a verse. No one can serve two masters. You will hate the one, love the other, devoted to the one, or despise the other. Here we go, ready? You can't serve both. You gotta choose one or the other. That's Psalm 49, man, right there. He's like, hey, the people that are loving the world and its riches, they're gonna die. And after that, it's not good, not good. They cannot pay for their own lives. But those who trust in the Lord, God will ransom their soul. God will pay for their life, again, through his provision, through his son. But you can't do both. It's either one or the other. Look, this is not my words. You will hate the one, love the other. Look at Luke 6. This is a big deal. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Part of the Beatitudes, Jesus says in Luke 6. Look at that. So, those who have all the stuff right now, you better enjoy it, man, because that's your reward. Love the houses, love the cars, love the money, love the vacation. Just like enjoy it while you can, because he says, man, that's your consolation. Like that's your reward. Enjoy it now, because after that, after Jesus comes, it's all dust. It all goes to nothing. It's gone. So like enjoy it while you can, because it's not going to last very long. This is what he's saying. This is what Jesus is saying. It's most of our world. And live for now, live for now, live for now, live for now. And then all of eternity, eternal regret. Next verse. I mean, guard your heart against covetousness. Don't long for. We're going to see that in Psalm 49 in the later verses next week. Don't get jealous of the rich, because our life doesn't consist in what we possess. Next verse. But God said to the rich fool, "This night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" It's a good question, man. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself, here we go, ready, and is not rich toward God. He's like, fool. God says, you fool, you idiot. Like, what were you doing? You spent your whole life for something that won't last, and now you're dead, and now your souls are required. You have nothing to show for it. You moron, right? Last verse, Luke 18. This is rich young ruler. Jesus, seeing the rich young ruler become sad because he tested him on his wealth, he said, "How difficult is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" Not impossible, but very difficult, because those who have so much wealth are so tempted to trust their wealth as opposed to Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus says, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter God's kingdom. So we're talking about this very, very important issue in God's word. We're talking about Psalm 49, just going through it. And wow, do I trust in wealth? Do I trust in Christ? And there's an eternal difference. So this is important enough then to unpack this question. What are some signs that I am falling victim, that I have sinned in the love of money? What are some signs? What are indications that I am trusting in wealth? Here are 10 indications that I am trusting in wealth. And I borrow this from Don Wilson, okay? 10 indications that I love money, and this is a danger in my life. First, I'm obsessed with becoming rich. I'm in serious danger of loving money. When I think about money, when I just want to pursue money, when I'm just trying to get, I work all those hours at the end of the day, I just want more accumulation to get more stuff that I may have more and more and more. Another indication is I never have enough. I'm never content. That's a huge one. G.K. Chesterton said so wisely, there are two ways to have enough. You can get more, or you can be content with less. Two ways to have enough. The power of being content with less in order to have enough. This one, I live beyond my means. This right here is setting so much destruction in our society. Listen, this one right here is so much destruction in the church. So many people. One of the best financial advice I ever got was, don't spend more than you make. And I was like, wow, that's so profound. Let me write that down. As a young man, though, I was like, wow, that just makes so much sense, you know? But everything around me saying the opposite. Spend, 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 spend. Get. I say to my kids, man, ever since my kids are saying, what's the number one piece of financial advice, children? Don't spend more than you make, Dad. I'm, yes. It will solve so many problems. It's so unusual, yet so wise. This right here, again, how many of us tempted with boatloads of debt, and it starts to ruin our lives?
If you'd like to hear this message again, or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.